If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
The cinema specialists Phil and John are back, and today we are discussing the final two movies in the MCU. John, I made it. I did it. We were supposed to do this. I know some people who are tuning in right now are probably confused. We were supposed to do the Marvels and Twisters together, and then we were going to do Deadpool and Wolverine along with Deadpool and Deadpool 2. That ended up getting scrapped because I just was not able to make it to theaters to see Twisters. I'm currently in LA, so I'm on a different time zone. I'm staying with people. It's been hard for me to get to a theater. Deadpool and Wolverine, I was able to pull off. Looks like we're probably going to do at some point Twisters for our patrons, considering we did Twister anyway. So I feel like we'll have to jump in and do that as one of our $5 Tuesdays for sure. But for now, we're just finishing out the MCU today. The Marvels, Deadpool and Wolverine. I got to address the elephant in the room before we even get started here. John, you originally gave the Marvels 2.5 stars.
I did.
I am not going to let you play Monday morning quarterback. I am not going to let you change your mind on this. I am gonna shame you for at least five more seconds.
It's fine.
My goodness gracious me, John. What movie did you watch the first time?
Honestly, I'm not convinced it wasn't slightly different than the one I watched last night.
You were really selling me on that. You were really trying to convince me.
The Marvels is maybe the most fascinating film in the MCU, because it comes at this time where the MCU is being pretty heavily criticized about, you know, the enjoyability of their films as of late, the quality of their films. And we're at a time where length is at discussion of films. Like, a lot of people are complaining about how long movies are. And the Marvels feels like a movie. They're like, this has to be exactly 90 minutes. And they just started cutting scenes to make that happen.
Yeah. Okay. So you're claiming that this was a different version that you watched this time than what you watched in theaters.
I'm not 100% claiming that, though. I swear there were scenes that were longer when I saw it in theaters.
I mean, I'll tell you what.
Not by a lot.
Every scene over 5 seconds long felt long. I can tell you that with absolute certainty. We got Jordan Alford over here who says, "Hi guys, boy, did that movie suck." I'm talking about Deadpool and Wolverine. Jordan Alford looks like he gave the Marvels more stars than Deadpool and Wolverine, which, I'm not going to sit here and suddenly become a staunch defender of all things MCU, but man, the Marvels was atrocious from start to finish. I mean, it's a bad movie, and I enjoyed Deadpool and Wolverine. I mean, obviously we're going to dive into that one more thoroughly. I enjoyed it for the most part. A lot of jokes miss, but I laughed at enough of it. The Marvels was literally that was a 5.5 hour and a half movie. It was so brutal.
Now, I do think you were predispositioned to disliking this movie based on your opinions of Captain Marvel in the first place. And the fact that these two other characters are characters that were established in these MCU shows and kind of just, again, shows the greater failure of the MCU through Phase 5.
I could confidently say, too, so I was talking to some friends yesterday who were like, oh, so you watched it without seeing Ms. Marvel? And after my response to that was, I can confidently say I never need to watch Ms. Marvel. Like, I could confidently say I never need to watch that. Because thank God I didn't spend time wasting my time watching Ms. Marvel. Because if it's the same type of humor and the same type of style, I wouldn't have made it. I really wouldn't have. It is just cringy the entire time. It's so cheesy. It's just, I don't know. Like, yeah, Captain Marvel is still maybe one of the worst movies, maybe the worst movie I've ever seen in my entire life. But the Marvels is pretty damn bad. And John, you had talked about it like it wasn't terrible. And I sat down to watch it and I was like, oh my God, there's no pace. There's no rhythm. Nope. There's no anything. And this was, I guess, the first time that I watched Marvel movies out of order. Although, like, when I originally watched Black Panther, I hadn't seen a lot. But I watched this out of order because I saw Deadpool and Wolverine before I saw the Marvels. And Deadpool and Wolverine, while there's definitely some flat moments, there's a pace to that movie. There's a distinct style to that movie. The Marvels has nothing going for it. I mean, it really doesn't. And the bottom two movies, now I officially have all 34 movies in the MCU ranked. And the bottom two movies in my ranking are the Marvels and Captain Marvel. And they are significantly worse than everything else.
The interesting thing that I find with the Marvels. So when I originally saw the Marvels, my opinion coming out of it was that was fine. And maybe, I don't know, maybe I just wasn't paying that much attention to it. Maybe I kind of just like completely turned the brain off.
But maybe it didn't feel... me to insult you. That's what it was. You needed me to sit here and say, John.
No, because watching this movie last night, I was just like, wow, this is disjointed. I don't know what's happening. And I've seen this movie before. That's bad. Like, I should know what's happening because I've seen this movie before. And it felt like everything was kind of just happened in the Marvels as it was going along. And I don't recall having that experience when I saw it in theaters, which is why I texted you and saying, like, I think this is a different movie than what I originally saw. Because it felt like it. It felt completely different. I remember coming out of the Marvels and thinking, you know what? That was fine. It was mostly fun. But, like, they really shit the bed when it came to this villain who had, like...
There's Jordan's comment right there. I just thought the Marvels was boring, but I didn't hate it. So, yeah. You know, I mean, that seems to be how you felt.
My opinion. That was my opinion coming out of it, too. But rewatching it, I'm watching it with my roommate last night, and I'm like, this movie makes no sense. Things are happening, and I don't know why they're happening.
That was the thing for me. It just felt
like things were missing.
Yes, it really didn't make any sense. It really was just, it just felt like a hodgepodge of nonsense that just kept piling on top of other hodgepodges of nonsense. The obsession of Ms. Marvel with Captain Marvel, and again, I didn't watch the show, but I didn't see Deadpool 2 before seeing Deadpool and Wolverine, and I felt like I knew everything that was going on because there's actually a story that... Yeah, I might have missed some Easter eggs. I might have missed some moments. There might have been some things I didn't understand. But these movies, like, they don't need to be full, Like, they don't need to fully be standalone. That's not what I'm saying. But there needs to be some cohesion. Because I watched Captain Marvel, and I had no idea what was going on at the beginning of this movie. And I shouldn't have to sit there and watch an entire TV show in between a movie. And, like, there's already 34 movies in the MCU. If you want to have TV shows, too, you should have them be tertiary to the story, not absolutely integral to the story. Also, though, Kamala Khan's character is so bad. I mean, just absolutely horrible. It's so boring. You like it?
I think the thing that we have to view as 32-year-old white men is this character is definitely not for us. Right?
Is a
character who is
No, I'm not disagreeing with that. But the way that she's written is awful.
Oh,
she's written so terribly.
It's not great. And, like, the problem with this movie and the portrayal of Kamala Khan in this is that Kamala doesn't get the same fleshed out she does in the TV show. I mean, the TV show's literally six times as long as this movie is, but there's so much more emphasis on the family aspect in that show, which is really playing into the heritage of the character and things like that, right? So there's so much more emphasis on that in the show. It really flushes the character out more. In this, she does kind of feel a bit one-note fangirl here, which doesn't make sense.
Makes no sense.
If you haven't seen the show. And again, this is like the shortcomings of the MCU. The MCU failed by thinking they were big enough to make people watch TV shows in order to watch their movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it'll be interesting now. I mean, we're coming off of Comic-Con where they just announced Robert Downey Jr. is going to be playing Doctor Doom, and we have that coming up now. It'll be interesting to see how they react, because when we talk about Deadpool and Wolverine, obviously the movie that came before Deadpool and Wolverine was The Marvels. The Marvels was an absolute box office disaster. It was not well received by critics. Fans did not like it. Nobody was into this movie, no matter what John tries to tell me, when he first saw it. I got to just keep harping on this. But the thing is, with Deadpool and Wolverine, they can make as much fun of how bad the multiverse is and how many flops they've had, and they can keep poking fun at it. But at the end of the day, you're writing a script under the brand that is making fun of itself. Mm-hmm. And so how much are you really making fun of yourself? You know what I mean? Like, it's, you can act like you're poking fun, but you're still the ones who are putting out that absolute nonsense. Just because you're admitting that it's shit, that's like when Bill Murray does the in Zombieland, "Do you have any regrets?" And he says Garfield. That's funny because it's a throwaway and it literally is Bill Murray regretting Garfield. But when you are, you know, the MCU and you're Disney and you're putting all of this money into these movies, and then you say, ha ha, we can laugh at ourselves. Good, you can laugh at yourselves, but you better start making a damn better product. Because if you keep laughing at yourself but keep putting these movies in front of people, they're going to eventually turn on, you know. Deadpool and Wolverine was always going to work. That was the marketing campaign behind the movie was absolutely brilliant. You know, those are two characters that are really well loved across all age ranges. So it was always going to work. But like a movie like The Marvels, you could sit there and say, well, this wasn't for us. Like, Kamala Khan's not for us. Okay, she's not for me, but I can still sit there and say that's a terribly written character. I can tell when a character is just done poorly. And that's how I felt with everything in the Marvel. So it's funny that in Deadpool and Wolverine, they're poking fun at themselves so much. Mm-hmm. But okay, how much are you going to now alter that in the future? Because you better damn well get better, because the Marvels and Quantumania can't be the future of the MCU, and you expect to still fill seats.
Yeah, no, I agree. And if you look at my Letterboxd a lot recently, I have a lot of conversation. There's a lot of comments I make in my reviews recently about critiquing a lack of character development. Just like every movie. I watched all the X-Men movies last week in preparation for Deadpool and Wolverine, just to remind myself about all of them. And there's so little character development in all of those movies, and it's really frustrating. And that's exactly what I feel like with Marvel's too, rewatching it. Because it feels like every character moment is what was cut from this movie.
Mm-hmm.
There are all these moments where it's like, okay, this should be the time when they're kind of starting to figure each other out. Like, this is this team. They shouldn't be a team out of convenience. They should be a team out of the fact that, you know, they have to work together because of the way their powers are intertwined, and they have to be building relationships. That way we have the emotional impact when Monica decides to go into an alternate dimension and stay there, or, you know, anything in this movie happens. But we don't have that. Like, we don't get that because there's no character development moments. There's not even the fact that, like, one of the biggest, I think, emphasis in this movie should have been this idea that Kamala is super powerful, incredibly powerful, but is being sidelined the entire movie because the adults want to do everything, right? Yeah. They just don't trust her. And there should have been that build of trust. Instead, we kind of just get this scene where Captain Marvel just apologizes to her.
Yeah.
Like, cool. But like, why isn't this earned? Why is there no earning here? And again, it falls back onto this villain who should be a compelling villain. There is reasons we should be siding with this villain. But none of them are presented in this movie.
What's really funny is I think I watched this movie two nights ago now, and I'm like struggling to even remember who the villain is. That's how much. Like, that's how immemorable that, I don't even know if that's a word. That's how forgettable, that's a better word, that villain is. Like, I couldn't even tell you I couldn't tell you the name. I can barely envision it. Like, there's just nothing there. And there's no reason that there should be nothing there. You're right. What this felt like to me this movie felt like an 80s superhero movie or a 70s superhero movie or 60s superhero movie, meaning they're the good guys because we've told you they're the good guys, and this is the bad guy because we've told you that they're a bad guy. Now watch the movie and enjoy it. And I swear to God, if another cat eats another thing and I'm supposed to laugh at it, I'm gonna, I might never ever do a podcast again. I might quit Survivor too. Like, I'm so tired. I got so tired of the movie. It's like, okay, the first time it really wasn't that funny, but then they do it like 75 times. And it's like, oh my God, that's the joke that we're dwelling on, is the cat thing. Like, how many times? Like, brevity is the soul of wit and all of that stuff. And repetition doesn't work. You got the rule of threes, which can work sometimes, but my goodness, how many times do I need to watch a cat do something and be like, ha ha ha, it's a tiny cat. Isn't this silly? It's like, oh my goodness, let's move on. Let's find another joke that was already the joke of the first one.
Yeah. And like, the issue with the whole cat side plot that's there is, why is it there? Mm-hmm. Why? I was watching this movie
just to save all the people at the end. That's what it felt like to me.
Yeah, but I honestly, while watching this, missed why the space station started exploding. Why was that happening? It just happened all of a sudden.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. I don't remember. It was definitely in there. But again, like, when I watch a movie and rank it half a star, it really does vanish from my brain. We probably needed to podcast this 5 minutes after. And that was the only way that I was actually going to remember anything that happened in the movie. That's how much, like, I just can't keep it in. I wish I could. I don't have the talent.
But the problem is that, like, this exile plot isn't built up at all. There's a couple of offhanded comments about how Goose is looking a little pudgy. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, look, there's an egg. Where did it come from? But there's no build up to it.
Can I also say Goose isn't looking pudgy? Goose looks exactly the same as in the first movie.
Oh, you mean Goose looks like a cat?
Yeah, it just looks like a very normal cat.
Yeah, yeah, 100% agree. And it's just like, that's not really a buildup, right? There's no buildup there, and that's where this movie ultimately fails, is this movie doesn't build to anything. Even when we look at, like, if we get rid of the conjecture they need in order to figure out where things are going to happen, and the fact that, like, you know, Carol eventually gets to this point where she's like, oh, they're specifically targeting planets that I call home. And it's like, okay, cool.
Your Google Home isn't set up yet.
Apparently my Google
Home. No, your Google Home's not set up yet, John. Sorry.
But
now it's just going to keep talking to you for the rest of this podcast.
No, it won't. It won't. I promise. I hope not. But anyways,
we're listening, John.
When Carol figures out everything, there's no reason for her to make that conjecture. Even when it's like, when they make the decision to go to Aladna because it has a 99.6% water surface. The surface is 99.6% water or whatever. Like, what a conjecture. It's a sure good thing the villain thought the exact same thing as you.
I mean, why wouldn't the villain think the same thing? They speak in song. Of course. They're going to think the same thing.
Is a language, I might add. And it doesn't matter that they're literally speaking English. It's a totally different language.
Dude, okay. That scene, that whole sequence really hurt. That hurts so much. Because, okay, you can sit there and say, Phil, this isn't for you. But at the end of the day, the fact that they're lumping this into the MCU, it kind of is supposed to be for me. This is the movie before Deadpool and Wolverine. And you can't tell me that Deadpool and Wolverine and the Marvels are supposed to exist in the same universe, but they are supposed to exist in the same universe. And so therefore, this actually is supposed to be for me. That scene was so stupid. And that was one of those, like, look how funny we are. Look how silly we are. And it was never funny. It was never going to be silly. It drove me so insane. And then when she did the whole, he's bilingual. Thankfully, I'm so using crazy. I'm using my wife's laptop. I'm on the third floor of a building. I almost just opened the window and threw it out because I was like, how did somebody get paid hundreds of thousands of dollars for that line? Like, what are we doing? And look, I get, maybe this was in the comic book. I haven't read the comic books and things like that, but that's like adapting a video game and keeping in the cheesy parts. Like, there's always going to be cheesier stuff in a video game, and you're not going to translate it to a movie. The fact that was like out of a 90 minute movie, as you stressed earlier, the fact that they decided to spend 10 minutes there oh my God, that just told you that they had nothing left. They were out of ideas.
It's so weird because this random musical number feels so out of place in comparison to everything in the MCU. This feels like something out of like the 90s when every random movie had like that one song just so it could get an Oscar nominee.
Yeah. Right? Like, when Diane Warren gets nominated for Con Air, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like that's what it feels like. And why is it here? It makes no sense. And again, that's the shortcomings of this film. This film just feels like it was, we had an idea. It felt like they had to rush it out for some reason. This was still a time when they were trying to rush out Marvel movies nonstop. And we just talked about the movie that was before this, and I can't even remember what it was. It was Guardians, right?
Guardians 3, I actually really enjoyed.
So it was like 4 months between movies at this point, and we're
that was also because they were on the back burner from COVID. So movies were just starting to plop out. They were finally able to release them, and they needed to get it over so that they could move on with the storyline.
I mean, we were also at a point where Marvel was turning that stuff out, and if you can take in consideration the TV shows at the same time, right? The amount of product that the MCU was popping out at this time was obscene. Mm-hmm. And I think now this wait between the Marvels and Deadpool and Wolverine is like the longest wait we've had for a Marvel movie in over a decade.
Was it a year?
Was it even that? When did the Marvels come out?
I don't know. Let me see. It was definitely 2023.
Was that last year? Yeah. So it was November of last year.
Eight months.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like the longest period of time we've had without a Marvel movie since, like, in a decade. It's wild.
Yeah. It will be interesting now, though, because, okay, we don't need to talk about the Marvels for a full half hour. Let's be real here. So let's kind of shift the conversation, and we can, like, bridge this gap here and, you know, bring up things from the Marvels. But it will be interesting to see how Disney reacts to this. Inside Out 2 is just the highest grossing animated film of all time. Mm-hmm. That is a huge win. Disney needed it so bad. On this podcast, especially with this MCU one, we've talked a lot about the failings of Disney. Disney has fallen apart with their theatrical releases. They were having flop after flop. And you would get these publications that would be like, oh, look, The Little Mermaid broke even. Those are people who are either trying to spin a narrative or don't understand how the film industry works. Because if you're barely cracking even on what your reported budget is, you did not make money and nobody's walking out of that movie making a dollar because P&A is not lumped into that and all these other things, different types of marketing are not going to be lumped into that. That's just a fact. And so what ends up happening here is they have the great success with that. And now Deadpool and Wolverine is about to smoke every R-rated record there ever was. It already did for Thursday. I'm sure it did for its opening weekend. I actually haven't looked at the box office numbers from the opening weekend, but it did amazing. And it's like, will Disney now realize, like, hey, if we put out something people actually give a shit about, they're going to come and find it. They're going to care and it's going to be fine. If we keep putting out nonsense like the Marvels, we're going to keep falling on our face. And so I am really curious what they're going to do. The opening weekend for Deadpool and Wolverine was $211 million.
Yeah.
That is an R-rated movie. Insane. Worldwide, $444 million. This is the best year Disney's had theatrically in forever. And they needed it so bad because it was such a disaster the last couple of years. But my point from this whole thing is I'm hoping that whatever they're leading to, whatever research they had to do to determine that Robert Downey Jr. should be Dr. Doom, please, for the love of God, let it be because you're starting to make movies that people actually want to watch again, that people are actually clamoring for. Like an Inside Out 2, people wanted. But John, I saw what else they announced at Comic-Con, and I didn't know what any of this stuff meant, but you sure did. And it doesn't seem like they actually care.
Well, a lot of these projects were already on the docket, right? We already had Captain America, Brave New World coming out. We knew about that. We knew, you know, Harrison Ford is stepping in as Thunderbolt Ross in place of the now deceased William Hurt. Really awkward that now the character has a starring role in a movie and they can't use the original actor anymore. But that happens sometimes when your franchise lasts 15 years. And then there's the Thunderbolts, which still seems like a disaster waiting to happen with all these B-list characters from random movies going together. And We'll see how that comes together. Everything, there's been a lot in the TV shows trying to set this stuff up and everything like that.
I think they're going to move away from that for sure, though. I think we're probably, whatever they've already tried to set up, I think is probably going to be the end of them setting this stuff up. I agree.
We have the Fantastic Four coming out where they announced the title of the movie, which is Fantastic Four First Steps, whatever that means. That is one of the worst movie titles I've ever heard. I honestly could not tell you what that means. First step to what? They announced that, you know, those characters are the ones that are going to be in this next Avengers movie, which is going to introduce Dr. Doom. Makes a ton of sense to have the Fantastic Four in a Dr. Doom based movie. Dr. Doom made way more sense as the big bad for this phase or this saga that the MCU is building towards than Kang ever did. But in all honesty, you see Joe and Anthony Russo coming back to direct these next two Avengers movies when they were not originally attached to these films. You have Robert Downey Jr. coming back, helming the next big bad of the MCU. This feels like Disney reacting to the fact that, A, people don't want to see their movies anymore. And they're like, okay, let's try to get the nostalgia back. Let's get the gang back together. And B, they took a risk on an actor who, you know, was phenomenal and then turned out to be a terrible human being. And now they're just like, cool, we could get literally anyone to play this role, but let's just go with this safe guy who we know there's no issues with.
Yeah, exactly. At this point, Robert Downey Jr. is so well back into the fold after his legal troubles, which were, from what I understand, at least mostly drug related and harmful to himself, and more of a scumbag way than being an assaulter. What Jonathan Majors was accused of or convicted of. I don't even know what ended up happening with Jonathan Majors. I haven't followed. Assaulting a woman, like that's a. To me, that's a big difference than like doing drugs and just being kind of a skeezy person, especially when Robert Downey Jr. at this point has been 20 years removed from how awful things were for him. And I do believe in being able to redeem yourself. And so he's redeemed himself. Jonathan Majors may be able to redeem himself in the future. Like, I'm not going to sit here and speak to that. But yeah, to me, this feels like it makes more sense. The problem with what's happening right now is Disney can't totally reset. You can't start over. You can't stop making these movies. That's what you're doing. We probably have another 10 years left of these movies before people finally do say, okay, that's enough. Because then eventually the teenagers are going to say, I don't want to watch my parents' movies anymore. Let's move on. That's what's going to happen. And so you can make the argument, well, Star Wars was different. Yeah, but Star Wars hadn't come out for 22 years. That was a huge difference between they come out three or four every year. So I think a lot of like youth now will watch these movies with their parents, but then grow out of it in the same way that we've grown out of so many of those random 80s, 90s movies that were huge hits, those franchises. Anyway, I digress. The thing is, though, they can't reset. And so they are locked in. They are stuck. They must continue moving forward. How do you continue moving forward? Well, Robert Downey Jr. is the moneymaker of your franchise. There's no doubt about that. So how do you get him back involved? Use the multiverse as some sort of excuse. And it seems like that's what they're doing. So I respect the idea that they're trying to reset without being able to reset. And, you know, I'm just going to look, we're going to podcast. We'll podcast the movies every, you know, when they come out and things like that. And we'll throw them out there. But I'm happy that I'm done and that I'm caught up and that now I can officially say like I've seen it. And man, they really screwed some things a lot in this franchise. And it's a shame because they've dug themselves some holes, but there were some pitfalls that were obvious, man. It was like, don't step on the palm fronds on the brick road because there's probably a hole underneath them. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah. It definitely feels that way. I think after Robert Downey Jr. won his Oscar, he had expressed, yeah, I'd love to go back to the MCU, but they kind of, you know, dug themselves into a corner with that one, with how they killed the character. And it was a good send-off for the character. It was a great ending for that phase of everything. Now you're bringing back your most recognizable actor as a different character. And it is a completely different character. It's not, from our understanding, like he is playing Victor Von Doom and is not some alternate reality Tony Stark. So
that's going to be weird. Are they going to make comments that he looks like Tony Stark, considering in all of these movies they make comments when people...
Dr. Doom like, was the fact that never in... seen without his mask. So it the might fact... not matter.
But the fact that in Deadpool and Wolverine, they have Chris Evans and they're making the Johnny Flame joke or whatever his name is, the Human Torch joke.
Johnny Storm.
Yeah, thank you. The fact that they're making that joke lets me know that, like, okay, you've crossed that boundary. So now if Robert Downey Jr. is going to play Dr. Doom, you kind of have to make the same assumption that people understand. You can't do the Ocean's 12 of, wow, she looks like Julia Roberts, and it is Julia Roberts.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how they play with it. At this point, I'm going to see Marvel movies when they release. We'll see how I feel about them. But I think Deadpool and Wolverine also kind of opens up a whole can of worms when it comes to the treatment of this multiverse and everything, and just the MCU in general, that I mean, we might as well transition to that film.
Oh, yeah. We're already there as far as I'm concerned. We've been on the clock.
I don't know how much I can trust any of the jokes that were told in Deadpool and Wolverine that showed any semblance of understanding audience complaints about anything that's happened in the MCU.
Mm-hmm. Why do you say that?
I don't know. We have there's the comment about run times, and sure, Deadpool and Wolverine was only like just over two hours, which is nice.
It's not bad.
It was nice. But it's also coming off the movie that they like intentionally cut down to 90 minutes for some reason. There are comments about, oh, the multiverse, that's over now. That I don't believe for one second.
I don't believe that either.
Literally a movie set in an alternate universe coming out that you are hyping up to all else. Like, there's just so many things where it's like, it almost shows a lot of the jokes in Deadpool and Wolverine, and there were a lot of them, seem to show this understanding of the way that people are responding to the MCU. But it almost more felt like Disney saying, yeah, F you guys in the way that you're thinking about these. We're just going to keep doing what we're doing.
That's what I'm curious to see what comes off of this, because I did appreciate the tongue-in-cheek stuff. I thought the 20th Century Fox jokes really landed. I thought that worked.
Yeah.
I thought the Chris Evans bit when he says flame on, that part killed me. I thought that was so well done and like really well timed, because that was set up well. The breaking of the fourth wall works about, I don't know, 40% of the time, which honestly is a pretty good rate. I know that sounds like shit, but I gave Deadpool and Wolverine 3 stars because honestly it hit more than it had any business hitting with how much it just kind of rambles on and keeps doing the same shtick. I mean, how many times can we make a joke about Deadpool being gay or being into like some version of like gay sex? It's like, you know, they're just going to keep on doing it. So it is what it is. But I thought it landed enough. And it hit enough of those points, but I do agree with you. It's like, what is the next step of this? We hear Blade, we hear Wesley Snipes say, there's only ever been one Blade and there's only ever going to be one Blade. We already know that that's not the truth because Mahershala Ali is set up to play Blade. But
that movie's been in production hell.
That's what I was just going to say. It's been taking so long and it keeps getting delayed that maybe they're saying, hey, this movie's never going to come out. And maybe that's the first hint, but also like, how much of this was supposed to be tongue-in-cheek? How much of it was supposed to be sincere? And is this going to actually change anything moving forward? Because this can't be the style of every Marvel movie moving forward. Like, Deadpool has a very unique style, so that can't be the style as we continue on. So, I don't know. I just, like, I enjoy Deadpool and Wolverine. It definitely tries too hard for most of the movie, but I still enjoyed it enough. And maybe it is just the fact that with so many of these Marvel movies, I was just like, you know what? They don't have a style. They don't know what they want to be. This movie knows what it wants to be. And it succeeds for the most part. It doesn't succeed all the time, but it succeeds for the most part. And it's just a matter of how much of it is lip service and fan service and how much of it is actually going to be for the benefit of the entire universe that I'm happy to be taking a massive break from.
My biggest question about it is how much of this script is Disney okaying things and how much is Ryan Reynolds just being like, I'm going to write whatever you want. You guys can decide if it's good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like, yeah. That's like, how many times did they have like 12 different takes of this?
Yeah. Like that. Mm-hmm. That's my biggest concern with this and why I don't trust any of it. Ryan Reynolds wrote it. And like Ryan Reynolds is the type of guy who would be like, I don't care. I'm going to make jokes at your expense. And we've seen that. We've seen that in two previous Deadpool movies. We've seen that in pretty much anything Ryan Reynolds has ever been in, where he has any sort of semblance of creative control, right? Like, he is the type of person who will just make fun of himself and everyone around him and just say, tough luck. This is how it goes.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel that the Deadpool Wolverine together actually worked? How did that partnership work for you?
Wolverine is supposed to be in this film kind of as the straight man to Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
And he isn't given the opportunity to be that straight man enough in this movie.
That's fair.
In my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman have great chemistry together. I think you can tell that they enjoy themselves. But how many times did we see Deadpool and Wolverine fight each other? Just because it's like, oh, this is the fan service that we want to do. And a lot of this movie is fan service. And it feels like it fits more because that is the tone of the Deadpool films. That is,
yes,
with the style of comedy here, it makes a lot more sense for all of these like random cameos from all of these other 20th Century Fox and like not MCU Marvel properties fitting in here. It makes so much more sense than the other previous times we've seen it. It made more sense than Spider-Man No Way Home, made more sense than Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness or whatever that movie was called. Like, it fit more the style and tone of this film.
Yeah. And William Redman here says the scene of Wolverine yelling at Deadpool in the car was phenomenal. I thought the van scene was great. Mm-hmm. Like, I loved that van fight scene where they just wreck the entire van. Like, I was into pretty much all of their interactions. I like the egging on. I thought that that was fun. And so for me, like the two of them work together. I actually, what kind of made me confused a little, it takes a while before they actually get onto screen together. It actually does take a while, which I almost can't complain about, because the fact that they were willing to take their time and just keep it with Deadpool for so long when it's a Deadpool and Wolverine movie. What is it? It's almost like 35, 40 minutes into the movie before Deadpool and Wolverine, the real Wolverine, are actually like doing anything together. Aside from like one drunken scene, and then you get the scenes and you get the when you regenerate and all that, and they just beat the crap out of each other, and that's fine. I think all of that is like fun enough for sure. But yeah, I thought their interactions together were mostly good. It cracked me up that it took so long.
Yeah, it's really weird. And man, you really don't want to think about like time in this movie at all, which is weird because there's a lot of references to time. Mm-hmm. Because I have really struggled to figure out when this movie took place. And maybe that's on me for watching all of the X-Men movies. The problem is Logan. So at the beginning of this movie, it's like, and in Deadpool 2, they make reference to the fact that, you know, Logan goes and dies at the end of Logan, right?
Mm-hmm.
That movie takes place in 2029.
Okay.
So are the events and then
are you trying to say people are going to forget Elektra by 2029, John? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, that is not what I'm trying to say. Is what I'm trying to say is it doesn't quite fit timeline wise with like what's going on based on, and I get it, we're dealing with multiverse and everything, but it's like clearly established in this movie that Logan that dies at the end of Logan is in the same universe as Deadpool, based on literally the entire plot premise of this
movie. Yeah.
Has to be that, which therefore means if he has died in that universe, that happened in 2029, so everything that happens in this movie has to happen after 2029, and it feels like Marvel, once again, has this weird date thing that has really screwed them up.
Almost like, why throw the dates in? Yeah, I could get behind that. See, I never saw Logan. Look, I'm coming at this movie, man.
I think you might actually enjoy that movie.
Yeah, with as little information as you could have. I mean, I avoided these superhero movies like The Plague for the longest time. And Logan always actually did interest me. That was one that I feel like I would have enjoyed. But I'd never watched the other Wolverine movies. I haven't seen the X-Men movies since really so freaking long ago. What'd you say?
They said you don't need to. I watched them all last week. Just watch Logan.
Yeah. So, like, that's the thing. So I hadn't really seen much of it. So yeah, I get kind of where you're coming from with that. I will say, like, how much do younger audiences, and I'm talking like 25, 24, and maybe we have people who are listening who are in that age range, 25, 24, 26. Did the cameos in the void do it for them? do you think?
I don't know.
Like, does the Chris Evans cameo land? Does the Wesley Snipes cameo and does the Jennifer Garner cameo land? And I think the Channing Tatum one kind of lands because Channing Tatum hasn't actually been in this universe yet, right? This is the first time we see him as that character.
No, he has been petitioning to play. He was supposed to play that character in X-Men 3, The Last Stand, but
he hasn't played it.
No, and he has been petitioning to play that character ever since.
And that's what I'm saying. So, like, we're getting him for the first time. So maybe that will land for people more. But how many people, and I'm sure that there's so many comic book nerds who are going and watching this movie, and I use nerd nicely, but I know there's so many comic book nerds who are going and watching this movie. Do they have any idea who the hell Jennifer Garner as Elektra is? Like, does that land for them? So. You think so? Nobody watched that movie.
No, but you have to remember the characters introduced in Daredevil, which people did watch. And the director's
cut of Daredevil. In the show Daredevil?
No. In the 2002 Ben Affleck movie.
Okay. Nobody's still watching 2002 Daredevil.
That's not true. The director's cut of Daredevil is often considered one of the best superhero movies ever made. Just no one saw it because they all saw the theatrical cut.
Wait, so you just agreed with what I said?
I'm talking. You were the one who invited comic book nerds into this conversation. I am giving them the benefit of the doubt.
And I'm just saying, you just stated that the director's cut is one of the best movies ever, superhero movies ever made, but nobody saw it. And my argument is nobody saw the 2002 Daredevil. So it could be good, but nobody's watching those movies. So look, I mean, I'm just curious because when that happened, I thought the Elektra thing was so funny, and especially the Wesley Snipes one.
Because
he'd been coming out against Marvel and stuff for the constant delaying of Blade, and he kept making jokes about that, so I really appreciated that. I thought the Cassandra Xavier stuff was like meh, didn't really matter to me all that much. It was fine, but whatever. But you know, the other cameos, like the Chris Evans cameo, I thought was the best one, and maybe that's just so because good. I love Captain America. I've talked about that. Those are my two favorites of the entire franchise, of the entire universe, are the first two Captain America movies. And I thought his performance was great and it was fun. And then I had a good time watching these other characters show up, but you know, it's like the actual villain in the movie, whatever. And then all the Deadpools, like that didn't really matter to me. I understand like why they did it, but I was reading a review of one of my friends where he was just going off about all of like what each one was and everything. And I'm like, oh my God, to me, it was just a bunch of people in red. I had no idea. And then there was the dog, there was Dogpool. That's what I got from this, you know, like it was just, I had no idea what was going on otherwise.
Yeah. It was confused. I understand it. I get it. We've done it a lot. There are all these different variants of Deadpool and everything, and variants, big terminology used. Cause like we're dealing with the TVA, which is introduced in the Loki TV show, kind of how playing into that and everything. I understand what they're doing here, but like it was so much fan service. And like, that's why I ended up giving this movie 2.5 stars. I was like in between that 2.5-3 star range because it was enjoyable. I laughed. And you know what? That's more than I can say about a lot of MCU movies.
But yeah, I laughed. I laughed a lot. There was just a lot of times I didn't laugh too.
Yeah. And like the longer I sat on it, the more I'm like, looking at the character and stuff. And like, it's nice seeing Wade actually have this character, but like his motivations kind of sucked in the end, if I'm really being honest. Like just doing it for the girl when like the entire premise is like he's supposed to do something like be bigger than himself. And I get it. Wade Wilson is a selfish character and everything. That's what he's going for. I kind of wish it was more of a like not doing it for the girl and like doing it for the greater good type of thing is what we had landed on instead. And I really thought like the end of the film where they're just, where he's like, I did it for you. It kind of ruined it. It kind of ruined the character development we're getting out of him. And on that note, we don't really get character development from Logan in this either, because it's just heavily alluded the entire time, you know? And then like he says, I didn't go back and I didn't save them and everything. But we never really get that point where he really comes to terms with it. And there's this like noble sacrifice at the end of the movie that isn't actually a noble sacrifice.
I mean, it's friendship can defeat all. And I actually thought that was a pretty funny little like, we worked together. One of us would have exploded, but the two of us did not. Yeah. How did you feel about X-23, if I'm saying that correctly?
X-23? Daphne Keene obviously did a phenomenal job in Logan. It's nice seeing her here. It didn't feel like the weight was there that should have been there.
I don't feel like there was anything to it.
No, it didn't feel like. The problem is this is a character who is interacting with someone who is just a different version of someone who's very important to her, but we're not given that gravitas to the situation, especially for people who haven't seen Logan, which I'm assuming there are a lot of people who have watched this movie who haven't seen Logan.
Yeah, I could see that for sure, where people missed it or they haven't seen it in so long that they honestly forget who she is. They didn't really explain it much.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
We have what William Redman here saying, I love the first two movies, but honestly the weakest part of this film is the parts with the old characters. It was fun to see the old characters. They didn't really do anything.
I wonder, William, if like, correct me if I'm wrong, are you referring to the old characters, like the old 20th Century Fox characters, because those were kind of fun parts, or are you referring to the old established Deadpool characters, who I felt had nothing to do in this movie, or just like, yeah, they exist, and then shoved off to the side, and we never saw them again. It's like, oh, here's the shiny new toy in Wolverine. And that's what this movie did, right? And that kind of felt like, when we look at the end of Deadpool 2, where, you know, Deadpool goes back in time to prevent his girlfriend from being killed and everything, all of a sudden we go back to this, like, this reality. So we go back to this old reality, and all of a sudden it's like, cool, we have nothing building off of that at all. Nothing whatsoever. And like, that's where this film's lacking, because first, like, I just wanted more. And like, it was cool. It was funny. Like the whole Peter thing of it all, hilarious. I thought that was some of the funniest thing in the entire thing.
Yeah. The Peter stuff was good for sure.
Yeah. But like, why did we brush off all these other characters who have been in two previous films before? I get it, they're with a different film franchise and everything, but you're putting them in the movie anyways. Why did they never come up for the entirety of the film?
And that, again, gets into the fact of Marvel can't actually restart, so they have to, like, fake restart. And this felt like we're going to fake restart, and we're going to start up the storyline that we want to start up. And this is the best we can do.
Exactly. And again, it doesn't feel like we got to a conclusion in this movie. Where's this going? Is Deadpool still a thing? Are we going to see Deadpool in future movies? Because I swear, if we get to the end of Phase 6 and we don't have Thor holding Deadpool and crying over him,
why is he really crying?
Let down. I'm going to be really let down.
Why is he crying is a question that absolutely 100% needs to be answered. 100%. It has to be answered. We need to know the answer to that at some point, because you can't make that many references to it and have nothing come of it. I don't know. It'll be interesting, too, to see how they tie Deadpool into other movies, because I do feel like Deadpool is a main character. And obviously, Wolverine's a main character, too, but Wolverine's in X-Men. So Wolverine can be a side character in X-Men. To me, Deadpool feels like a main character. The way Ryan Reynolds does it feels like a main character. So for me, it's like, it feels like if Deadpool is going to start appearing in these movies, getting smaller cameos from Deadpool is going to be harder than getting a smaller role from pretty much any other character in the MCU, especially since Deadpool does have such a distinct, different voice than the other characters in this world.
Yeah, I mean, he can break the fourth wall, and that's a huge difference than any other character in the entire everything, right? And then he honestly, is Deadpool showing up in an Avengers movie going to make any sense whatsoever?
No,
like that's kind of the thing, right? I think that's kind of
it will, though, because he talks about wanting to be an Avenger and things like that, so I guess it does, but you know,
but does it with where we leave this character off in the end of this movie?
Yeah,
again, he's not really at the point where he's a selfless hero going out and doing everything, right? He, like, yes, he goes in, he makes that, he attempts to make the noble sacrifice and everything, but he's still only doing it for the girl. So, does he, what was that line that Happy Hogan says at the very beginning of the movie? What is it? You said you need this, but Avengers do this because people need them.
Yeah.
Like,
he doesn't actually overcome that arc. Yeah, I get that.
No, well, right? Like, does he not?
Because I do feel like the family and friends that he has, he is able to save. And that is, those people needed him, and he's able to keep the world from exploding or whatever's supposed to happen. And so I kind of disagree with that. I do feel like they do need him. It's just a very specific group of people need him, and he does ultimately save them.
Yeah, but I feel like he's still doing it selfishly is the thing, I guess, that I'm trying to get mm-hmm. to, where his motivations are still selfish and they're not selfless motivations. It's like, is he doing it to save them and like let them go on, or is he doing it because he wants to be with them still?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I guess that's the hard thing for a hero all the time, right? It's like a lot of times.
Absolutely. I mean, it's one of the biggest things that drives superhero stories is this dichotomy of the people you love versus the people who need you.
Mm-hmm. And in this movie, it's the same people.
Yeah. Well, the MCU's just kind of made it so that they can't really dissect that by making their heroes so public and making it mm-hmm. so that their identities are known and not secret identities, right?
Yeah. What else about this movie do you want to say? Because this is, we're going to be signing off for, we're signing off from the MCU for a while after this. We're going to do a podcast, probably, it won't be next week, probably the week after, where we talk about the movies that made it into our updated top 100, since we did that, and that'll be full circle on our top 100s. And then we're going to start diving in. I know I had some other ideas, John, and I can't remember what they are right now, but we'll talk about them off screen.
Yes.
But like, what did you want to, like, what are some like closing thoughts on taking a little break from the MCU?
Honestly, the best part about this movie to me, and this is seem really weird, is the credit reel of all the behind the scenes footage from the 20th Century Fox movies.
I like that. Yeah, that landed.
With some Green Day playing in the background, and like it felt,
which was funny because that is such a tongue in cheek, overly sentimental song that we hear all the time.
Exactly. It felt like it really fit. Obviously, like, it was so huge when these 20th Century Fox movies were so popular and stuff. It felt like a really good send off. And a really respectful way to end that portion of the Marvel films now mm-hmm. that they all belong to the same company.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I like that. And like, that's the end of 20th Century Fox. And I did like their end credit scene was actually very good. Also the Chris Evans saying every single thing that Wolverine said or that Deadpool said, he said, I enjoyed that. I thought that
was good. I love getting Chris Evans because I had this conversation with a friend after we saw the movie where Chris Evans as Captain America, obviously, like, as Steve Rogers, fantastic. Like, he really pulls off the Boy Scout of it all and everything to the point where, like, there's literally jokes about him telling people not to swear and stuff like that. Like, watch your mm-hmm. language in Age of Ultron and everything, right? This is the Chris Evans everyone outside of the MCU knows.
Yeah.
And it was so nice to see that in an MCU movie, to see Chris Evans just like having such a blast, just like rattling off all these obscenities and things like that, because that is what Chris Evans is in almost every other movie he's in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I agree. And I thought that was a lot of fun. And it was just like a fun little tongue in cheek. Like, yeah, your Captain America isn't so Captain America. What was the end credit scene? I feel like we should talk about the end credit scene from the Marvels. What was the last scene of the Marvels again?
So there's kind of the one that happens pre-credits in the Marvels, which is where Kamala is in the flat in New York and Kate Bishop comes in and she's like,
yes. That was that. Are we buying that's actually going to be something now, or are they just going to throw that one to the side because the Marvels was such a disaster?
I don't know. They're kind of been working towards it. It's new Avengers, so it's the younger group. It's the like offspring of most of these characters. That may or may not happen.
That's going to be a TV show if they do it. That's how I feel about that.
I think it would work better as a TV show.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see what happens there. And then they have the one where it's Monica in the alternate reality and we get Kelsey Grammer back as Beast.
Yes. So that's setting up Fantastic Four, right?
Or no, X-Men. Beast is a X-Men character.
X-Men. Okay, so they're setting up X-Men with that. Because those felt like they were important little side ones, and like, okay, we actually are setting this up for what's to come, because Deadpool and Wolverine obviously doesn't have one that has that much meaning to it. I'm just curious with how bad the Marvels was and how bad it did at the box office. I'm very curious to see if they actually stick with the whole Kate Bishop of it all, or if they realize like maybe we just dump these Marvel's characters and Brie Larson just gets pushed. They all get pushed to background characters.
Well, keep in mind Kate Bishop already had
her. Yeah, she already has a show. I know that.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, I knew that. I knew that.
I don't know. We'll see what happens. Everything with the MCU moving forward is kind of up in the air, besides what they told us at Comic-Con this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have no idea what they're doing. And we have no idea if they start seeing success again, they just make the same mistakes over and over again and start pumping out films way too frequently. So
let's hope not.
Only time's going to tell.
Yeah. But let's hope not. Yeah. All right. You have anything else on this, or should we wrap this thing up?
No, let's wrap up the MCU.
34 movies, everybody. I did it. 34. I think I had seen 5 of them prior to starting this up, and now I've seen 34 of them. I got to say, I'm pretty proud of myself for making it through that. Good for me. Give myself a pat on the back. It wasn't always easy. It wasn't, but here we are. We made it through. You can see my ranking on my Letterboxd. It's there in order, 1 to 34. So you can know exactly what I said. It's written in stone. I'm not allowed to change it. Not that I really would. I probably won't watch most of these movies ever again. But you know, that being said, here we are. I'm glad I was able to do it and get through it. And I think it's ended at this point on a relatively solid note. It hasn't ended on a phenomenal note, but it's ended on a relatively solid note. I ended up with Deadpool and Wolverine as my number 10 of the 34. And it was funny because my friends the other day were like, wow, so you really liked it. And I was like, no, that's just the rest of the MCU.
Yeah.
But it was still a good movie. It was solid. I enjoyed it enough. And so that's where I stand on it.
I have a question for you because I haven't put the Marvels into my rankings yet because I'm 100% not really sure how to.
You have to put it at number 2.
I don't have to put it at number 2. It's nowhere near that. But my question for you, because I rated it this time, it's 1 star. It's 1 star because it's just not cohesive. But I still enjoy it than a lot of my 1.5 stars.
Well, then you have to move it up to 1.5.
Ahead of them in my rankings? Or
no, you have to move it up to 1.5.
Okay.
Yeah, you can't maybe be putting
everything else down to a 1.
Though. A 1.5 star movie can't be better than a 2 star movie.
Okay. I wanted your opinion.
Don't make me fight.
I just wanted your opinion.
Yeah, no, that's my opinion.
Seth, I was pretty sure that was going to be your opinion anyways.
But... Yeah, man. 4 star movie is better than a 3.5. That's what you're saying. You might watch a 3.5 star movie than a 4 star movie. Like, I'm not going to go sit down and watch Schindler's List over a lot of movies, but. You know, if you're saying it, you're saying it's better.
Yeah.
Factual.
Okay, cool. Yeah, anyway. Factual. Statistics and everything. Yeah.
Statistics. Locked in. All right. That's it then. Thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed the entire MCU podcast. We now have 2 full series. We have our top 100 movies of all time, and we have the MCU podcast. John and I will be doing an update to our top 100. We're only going to do 1 podcast about it, but we'll just be talking about movies that made it in, ups, downs. You know, we each made new lists so we can talk about what made it in and what, you know, dropped out and where we ranked some of these newer movies. So that'll be a really fun one. I'm excited to do that one. And then we'll just dive into some other stuff. If you're a patron, we're going to be doing The Iron Giant tomorrow. So tune into that. I think we're going to do Life Aquatic the next week. That's what we have scheduled, but we might do Twisters. Because if I go see Twisters, then maybe we'll just do Twisters that week. I don't know. We're going to figure it out. We're going to get to the bottom of what our other movies are going to be in August. But I do know for sure that we're going to be doing The Iron Giant tomorrow. So tune into that. Thank you all so much for listening. Like the video, subscribe to the channel, and we'll see you next time.